Welcome back. Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, Volume 6. We have so many things to look into today. Just recently, we came across a video put together by somebody, you know, on the social media of various men of God speaking about, you know, just exhorting us. Let me not say what they're saying. And from it, a lot of questions have risen up. And we'd love for you to help us rightly divide the word of truth today. So, Bride of Christ around the world, join us as we watch this interesting clip from various men of God, particularly in Nigeria. Sit back and enjoy.
Bring holiness if holiness have been far away. After healing, after deliverance, after prosperity, after prayer, after wife, after children, after building a house, and holiness is still far away. Bring holiness to number one. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. After that now, all the other things shall be added. Make up your mind today. Make up your mind. I will not go back. Where are you? I will not go back. I will not go back. You will not go back in Jesus' name. Psalm 119. Verse 30. 119 verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth.
Don't be deceived by those who say that once you give your life to Jesus Christ, you can live any kind of life you want. That's not true. If you are a thief and you say you are born again, you are saying, I will steal no more. If you are a harlot and you are surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, you are saying, bye-bye to harlotry. If you give your life to Jesus Christ, you become a new creature. You become a child of God. Even those who are not Christian expect you to change. They expect you to behave differently. You probably have heard people say to some people who call themselves Christians, when they misbehave, unbelievers will say, but you call yourself a child of God. In other words, they expect things to be different once you give your life to Jesus Christ.
Every time you break your consecration, you are making God to start again. Are you hearing me? You see, even though God is so merciful that he will forgive sin, God forgives sin. And if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what you did not know is that every sin cuts you short and brings you back to square one.
Somebody's blessed. Hallelujah. Somebody's blessed. Once saved is not always saved. Be careful of these flying doctrines around the world that what to do is immaterial. You are covered. I'm telling you the truth, you are covered. Now, can I tell you a greater truth? You are not covered. He said, little children, be not deceived. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Don't get deceived. The thing is, okay, let them bring the proof of what is being taught. Can I tell you this? Jealously guard your salvation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Many people used to have all I'm saying now, but they don't have it anymore. They have sold out. Let him that thinketh his standard take it lest he fall. Lest he fall. If you are saved, you will love God. If you are saved, you will love righteousness. If you are saved, you will experience the joy of the Lord in your life.
Have you heard this new doctrine that is infiltrating everywhere? You know, many people have preached it in recent times, how that a believer cannot lose his salvation. Have you heard that? And there are some people in Nigeria pushing it and all of that because the church is illiterate. Because the issue that pertains to the possibilities of a believer are all enshrined in scripture. And 80 times in the New Testament, the apostles and Jesus himself reveals that you can lose your salvation.
The believer can fall out of grace and lose his salvation through idolatry and rebellion. I did disprove last time that the concept of once saved, forever saved is a fallacy. I'm sorry to say it. I wish it were not true, but it is the truth. The concept that once you are saved, you can do anything and nothing else changes it is not accurate.
Say, there is nothing like if you are saved today, you remain saved permanently. No! He said he rescued them, but later destroyed them. Grace is license to live right, not license to live wrong. And to claim that it is a license to live anyhow, it is just to find oneself in the place of eternal regrets where there is no way out.
It's your
Wow, very interesting. We trust you've learned and heard some things from this powerful man of God on this doctrine of eternal security.
No, I didn't learn anything.
You didn't learn anything?
No.
Okay.
There's nothing to learn there. You know, there's one of them that said, people who believe in the doctrine of eternal security, I say, and there are some preachers in Nigeria that are promoting that. And he made a statement very... something that sounded like the reason is because the church is
illiterate.
Yeah,
that's Apostle Arume Osai.
Okay, I don't know much about him. I'm just seeing for the first
And he
time.
Says, he goes further to say, 80 times in the New Testament, both the Lord Jesus and the apostles said that you can lose your salvation.
And he will have given us even four. Not even the 80 times, just three. Nothing like that.
Hey,
see, I want to correct something. What's his name again?
Apostle Arume.
Even the title he bears is on scripture. You see, even the title apostle. Anybody bearing that title apostle, you know, is not well informed. Now, there is a difference between literacy and being informed. You see, literate is the ability to read and write. That is what we call literacy. Your ability to read and write. You are illiterate when you are unable to read and write. Now, but you may be literate and yet be uninformed. You may be literate and yet have no knowledge, because it depends on what you are reading and you are writing. When it comes to the things of salvation, it's not literacy. It is revelation.
Amen.
That's what I want that man of God to note. So okay. Now and that is the usage of the word faith. And the just shall live faith. By revelation.
Hallelujah.
By revelation.
Hallelujah.
You see, Cain and Abel,
amen,
they were literate. They were literate. But one was informed, the other one was not informed.
Amen.
And these are the two groups of Christians. The Bible says, my people are destroyed
for lack of,
literacy. No, it's for lack of knowledge. You see? So, take note. He just said in the passing, he will have proved it. I really wish he can prove where Jesus Christ said you can lose salvation, you will soon discover that you are misinterpreting what the Lord Jesus Christ spoke and the apostles.
Okay, sir. A point will come in this discourse where I will ask you to analyze some scriptures for us.
I will,
maybe,
of course.
Maybe that's part of the 80 scriptures you want to show us.
I don't know.
I have about three or thereabouts for you to analyze. But before then, let me take it one after the other. Will you live any kind of life after that you are born again?
Now, it's not possible. Because we are talking about conversion.
Okay.
We are talking about conversion. Something that maybe this cup, if this cup is broken down and remolded to something else, is it possible for the cup to return to what it was before? Mm-hmm. It will have to take the potter. It will have to take he who broke it to bring it back to what it was before. Mm. Now, people don't understand what salvation is all about. Mm. We're talking about conversion. Conversion. The Bible says, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Mm. So, where do you place such thinking?
Because the opponents of this doctrine of eternal security, yes, that is exactly why they oppose it. Because they feel, when you preach eternal security, you are giving the people license to sin, you know, in their own words. You are giving the people license to sin. How can you just say you are saved forever, you are saved, and then are you telling the people to continue sinning? So please, sir, help us truly understand salvation. At what point are you truly saved? Who is saved? If you believe, I ought to have started by asking you, although you've answered us before, that do you believe and support eternal security?
Of course.
Now, if you do, sir.
I believe, yes.
If you do, sir, who is really eternally secured? At what point will you say you are saved?
Now, let me put it this way. You are eternally secured when you receive eternal life.
Okay.
This will answer the whole thing.
You are eternally secured when you receive eternal life. Okay.
Eternal life, oh, glory be to God. Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Write it down loud and clear. Carry microphones. Speak it anywhere. Eternal life is a life that has no end.
Mm. Amen.
Nothing can end something that is eternal.
Mm.
When you receive eternal life, you have received a life that will never end.
Okay. Can God take back that life?
He can, because it is a life that cannot end.
He has given you.
That is actually his life.
Hmm.
You have become part of him.
Yes, sir.
That is what it means. You have become part of him. Now, I always ask this question. You see, we use the natural to understand the spiritual.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes. Now, and this is not abstract. This is real.
Amen.
My brother that does not believe in abstract.
Mm.
Now, my father gave birth to me.
Mm.
Am I born of my father? Yes.
That's right.
What is the evidence that he is my father?
His blood, his DNA.
His blood is in me.
Hallelujah.
His DNA is in me.
Amen.
Now, if it is possible to remove the DNA, to remove his blood that flows from me, then it will be possible for me not to be his son at some point in time after he has given birth to me.
Mm. Mm.
Now, because he is my father, I am part of him. A part of him is in me. Do you know what? Even if he opens his mouth and says, I disown you, Moses. Is it by mouth that you begot me?
At all.
You gave birth to me by a process.
That's right.
And you have to pass through a process, which is not possible.
Which is not possible.
It's not possible.
Mm.
You see? And even if you kill me in the grave, there will be saying your son is in the grave there.
Mm. Even scientifically, life cannot be reversed.
It cannot be reversed. Mm. So unless this proponent of holiness and they think that's the only way to keep people.
So now,
I want you to understand something that just came into my mind. I don't want to forget it. Now, there are two words. There are two words in the process of our redemption that I want you to look at in the Bible. He has given us the spirit of adoption.
Amen.
Then we have the word redeem. Mm. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Now, if you look at those two scriptures, they look contradictory. Mm. If you get the meaning. Mm. Now, what is adoption? Mm. Adoption is an estate of a son, a human being. You know, we have adoption processes for people who go to adopt children all over the world. Now, a helpless child, abandoned, you don't know the father, you don't know the mother, is left to suffer and die. No helper anywhere. Maybe it's an orphan and thrown there. Then somebody comes to be the father. Then takes up that child and adopts him. Changes his name to bear his name. Now, then that child is reminded always that he is an adopted child. Mm. He's not a biological child. Mm. Now, watch it. The relationship between that child and the adopted parents will be that of fear.
That's right.
So that you will return me to what I was before you picked me. Mm. Now, when God first saves us, he lets us know the importance of salvation. He said he has given us a spirit of what?
Adoption.
Adoption, whereby we cry what?
Father.
Abba, Father.
Amen.
The spirit of adoption here is that is the level to make you appreciate salvation. Mm. He first reveals salvation to you through adoption.
Okay.
Now, but after you have come into the family, then he will let you know that you are actually redeemed.
Amen. Mm.
Now, what is redemption? Mm. Now, redeem is that to redeem anything, it was yours originally. Mm. Originally, it's yours. But you lost it to slavery. You lost it to whosoever that has owned it. He has spent so much, and then in taking care of it, and whether you were suffering or enjoying whatever thing, now you want to, the process of having your thing back to you that was yours before you lost is called
redemption.
Now, when you now come to an estate of your relationship with God, and you discover that originally you were his.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You were his child. Amen. That he lost.
Amen.
And he came looking for you through the cross. Hmm. And paid the price for the redemption.
Amen.
And you came back. Amen. The way you relate with him will no longer be like an adopted child.
Without fear.
It will not be without fear because you have come back home. Now, these people are looking at salvation from the point of adoption. Then they will say, once saved, you are not forever saved. You can lose your salvation. But what of redeemed? We are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Purchased back. If we are not his own, he will not have come to redeem us.
Amen.
You have to take note of
that.
And I want you to note that he was not doing us a favor.
Okay.
For he was incomplete without us.
Amen.
Oh my.
Hallelujah.
No true father is complete when he knows his son is in slavery somewhere. He had no rest until he had to go through that painful and gruesome death just to have us back to him.
Amen.
When you come back in that reunion, knowing where you were before he brought you here. I once was lost.
That's right.
But now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. Salvation is looked at from different angles. Don't just hold one and run off with it. But the summary of it all is the redemption of man.
Wow. Thank you so much, sir.
Yes.
Thank you so much for building this solid foundation, redemption and adoption.
Yes.
And it's very true. Many of the holiness preachers look at it from the standpoint of adoption. But you say it takes deeper knowledge to know that you originally is, and that will remove fear. Thank you, sir. But sir, there must be indices to know a saved person.
There must be indices to know a saved person.
Yes. So
now salvation is also a covenant.
Okay.
I want you to know that was demonstrated in various forms in the Bible.
Okay.
Now, first and foremost, we are going to consider some scriptures.
All right, sir.
Maybe these preachers have not looked at these scriptures. Will you allow me?
Please, sir.
I wish, because you just bounce on me and say, let's talk about eternal security today. So, but the Lord will help me.
Amen.
To just drop some of these things. I think I've preached this on some occasions in our archives. And the purpose of this teaching is not to give a license, like the Bible said, lasciviousness.
Mm.
It's not a license to live anyhow, because the truth is that you can never live anyhow if you are saved.
Mm.
But maybe we'll come to that later.
Okay.
Let's look at the process of salvation. Have you considered Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30? Let's read some scriptures.
30 says.
Yes.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
What did he say?
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Now the emphasis is grieving him.
Mm.
Because no father will be happy to see you live anyhow life.
Mm.
But the point I bring out here is that the Holy Spirit, by which means we are sealed. The sealing there of the Holy Ghost. When you seal, that is, you are sealed in somewhere you can't go out. Now, the sealing there until the day of redemption, that is between now, the redemption, that is when we shall leave this this carnal flesh.
The rapture.
The rapture.
Yes, sir.
So you see, nothing can unseal you if you are sealed.
Amen.
And we have an example of Abraham who entered a covenant with God. And it is a covenant that was confirmed with circumcision.
Mm.
And he said, the Bible tells us that it was the seal of righteousness.
Mm.
Now, if it is the seal of righteousness, now let's look at Abraham. What was he told to do?
Cut off the foreskin.
Now, when that skin is cut off, can it grow again and cover?
Mm-mm, no, sir.
So, no matter what Abraham did and all his seed and children, no matter what they did, as long as that skin was cut off and it's not possible for it to be returned, that was why he sealed it with that. That excess flesh is cut off. It cannot be put back, and neither can it grow back. It remained like that. It reminds God of the covenant he has with them.
Mm.
That is why in Romans chapter 11, in the book of Romans chapter 11, he made something. Let's read it.
Read it from
Verse 25 to 29 for emphasis.
For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conscience, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, unto the fullness of the Gentiles be coming. And so all Israel shall be saved.
Again.
And so all Israel shall be saved.
All Israel shall be saved.
As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob.
Uh-huh.
But this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins.
Uh-huh.
As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes.
Uh-huh.
But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
Again.
For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
That is, once he has called you, he will not throw you back again.
They are irrevocable.
It is. Salvation is irrevocable if you are ever saved.
Mm.
So I want you to take note of that first.
Okay.
Now we are talking about election. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2.
Okay. 1 Peter 1, 2.
How did he address?
Elect according to the foreknowledge now, of God now, the Father.
Now he called us elect. Now that is election. That is from the word choosing. The another word for choosing is election. So now I want you to understand this choosing first and foremost. Let me go back a little bit, please. This is very, very important. Let me go back a little bit. God is God, he's not a man.
Amen.
Psalm 100 says something like that. Correct?
Hallelujah.
He said something like that. That know ye not, Psalm 100.
Know ye not, verse 3, yes. That the Lord, he is God.
He is
God.
Yes.
It is he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
And in Isaiah 55, he said his ways are not our ways.
That's right.
Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Mm-hmm. Okay, now what I'm saying so is that he is not a man. The day you understand the process of redemption, you will fear God. And then and only then will you appreciate salvation. Our salvation, when the Bible says, for salvation is of the Lord, have you considered the meaning of that? Salvation is of the Lord. What that means, for when they say for salvation is of the Lord, you know the meaning of that? You want to read it?
Yeah, Psalm 3 verse 8.
Yes.
Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Uh-huh. Thy blessing is upon thy people.
Again, read it again.
Salvation belongeth unto
the
Lord.
There's another scripture that also says salvation is of the Lord. Now, what this is saying is that the process of salvation is entirely God's own program.
His agenda.
And that's why he calls it a mystery.
Amen.
And this mystery, chapter 3 of Ephesians.
Ephesians chapter 3.
Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, Proverbs 1.
For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles,
yes,
if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you all, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
What? It's a mystery of Christ. Go on.
Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Oh, they are unsearchable. It's too deep.
And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery.
That's a mystery.
Which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by
Jesus
Christ.
Please, verse 9 again.
And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
It's a mystery. And so when you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6.
Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect.
Yes.
Yet, not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught.
But
we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
It's a mystery.
Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto us.
When did he ordain it?
Before the world.
When did he ordain this mystery?
Before the world.
When? Are you catching what you are saying?
Yes, sir.
This mystery of salvation was ordained before the world.
Amen.
And what did he say in the next verse?
Which none of the princes of this world knew.
Yes.
For had they known it, they would not have crucified
the Lord of glory. It's a mystery. And in Romans chapter 16.
Yes, sir.
See the way he rounded up his letter to the Romans in verse 25.
Now, to him there is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery,
you see,
which was kept secret since the world began.
But now
it's made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith.
So salvation is a mystery. And anything that is a mystery, you cannot get in a school of theology. The knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Matthew 16.
Yes, sir.
Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? What did he say?
Matthew 16, verse 18.
Yes.
Matthew 16 from verse 13. Uh-huh. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did he say?
And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee.
Yes.
But my Father which is in heaven.
Why did he say so? That you cannot know who Jesus is except the Father reveal him to you. Why? Because in Luke chapter 10 and verse 22.
All things are delivered to me of my Father.
Yes.
And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father.
So that is why it will take the Father to reveal to Peter who
the Son is.
The Son is.
And who the Father is.
You see.
But the Son.
Now see, the mystery continues. Now in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
He said, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor
and are heavy laden.
And what will happen?
And I will give you rest.
But now in John chapter 6, verse 44.
No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him.
So although he said, come, you have no ability to come except the Father that sent him, Jesus, draw you. You see? Now, in verse 37.
All that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
You see?
And so, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Now, all the Father giveth is the Father that gives. And then he went further in verse 65. Verse 65 of John chapter 6.
And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of
Let's go back to verse 44 again and verse 45. 45.
No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day.
Now verse 45.
It is written in the prophets.
Yes.
And they shall be all taught of God.
You have to be taught of God.
Amen. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me.
You have to be taught by the Father. That is why it says salvation
is of the Lord.
Is of the Lord. Belongeth to the Lord. He is the one in the process. Now this is where the complication comes in. You see, try to answer this question. Olumide, try to answer this question. Is there anything that God doesn't know?
Not at all, sir.
Before you were born, before your father knew your mother, did God know that today you'll be sitting down here?
He does, sir.
Before you went chasing your wife, did God know that she will be your wife before you even knew her?
Yes, sir.
If he didn't know, then he's no God.
Yes, sir. He knows all things.
Now, when he was creating man, he had created the serpent. When he brought the serpent close to the man, did he know when he was creating the serpent that he was going to spoil the agenda?
He does, sir.
Did he know?
He does.
So, when you hear God saying, I regretted creating man, do you not know why he uses such language?
Yes, sir.
He's descending to your level to express how sad he feels. But was it by surprise what serpent did?
At all, sir. He knew.
Have you considered this scripture? Romans chapter 8. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 20,
For the creature.
Even verse 19 and verse 20.
Romans 8, 19.
Yes.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity. For the creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly.
Not willingly.
But by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope.
So, God designed Adam and Eve to fall.
Hey.
God designed Adam and Eve to fall. Because before he created Adam and Eve, he already had an agenda. God already knew that man will fall. So that you will understand John chapter 1 verse 1.
John chapter 1 verse 1.
Yes.
Okay. In the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was with God.
Yes.
And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made.
Now. Okay, go to verse 14.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
This Word that was in the beginning with God, this Word was made flesh. Which Word? This Word is a thought. This Word is a thought that was with God, and that thought is a part of God. Which thought? That's why it is in the beginning. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Which beginning? It's not the beginning of creation. It is beginning of an agenda.
Hey.
You must understand that salvation, what salvation is, salvation is an agenda, is a script.
Hey.
Like a drama script. That movie directors and producers put down. The actors only know the part they are playing. But the total picture is on the director, the producer, who is producing the thing. That is, he is the only one who will tell you this is the time for you to play this role and gives you the script for which you will play. He knows, he has a total picture. That total picture, unless he reveals it to you, it remains a mystery. That is why salvation is a mystery. Now, remember that God created all things for his pleasure.
That's right.
And you cannot question him. Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9 tried to let us understand that we are the clay and he is the potter.
That's right.
You have to take note of this. You have to see that God is not obligated to explain anything to you. You were ordinary clay, he molded you. That's why I say, who are you to reply to your maker? Why did you make me this way? He can break you again and do anything.
Wow.
But this is it. God desired to have men that would dwell on earth here, for the earth was created for man to dwell in. The Bible says so.
Yes, sir.
God decided that human beings would dwell on this earth. But the type of human beings that will dwell in this earth, they will have to be spiritual people.
Amen.
But before they become spiritual, let me do this movie for his pleasure, for his purpose, nothing more. Nobody can defeat the purpose of God. Anything happening is allowed of God because he has the ability to stop it. And if he doesn't stop it, it is only going to work out his purpose. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Mm. Until you meditate on some of these weighty claims of God, you continue to be looking at salvation the way some of these literate preachers are looking at it. They are so literate because they are doctors of divinity. Mm. They are this, but 1 Corinthians again, this is where I fall into. Chapter 2 again. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
You know, chapter 1, I mean to say, verse 18.
Okay. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Uh-huh. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, uh-huh, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Uh-huh. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Uh-huh. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?
Can you see?
For after that, in the wisdom of God, yes, the world by wisdom knew not God.
By wisdom, literacy, you are doctor of divinity. Say we are illiterate. We are not illiterate, we are revelated. This is what the Bible says to reply that man, apostle, who do you call him? Yes.
It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Mm. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom.
Yes.
For we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness.
Uh-huh.
But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God.
Verse 25.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men.
Yes.
And the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Now, verse 26, my emphasis.
For ye see your calling.
They call us illiterate. But see what the Bible says.
For ye see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise men after the flesh.
You see?
Not many mighty. Okay. Not many nobles.
Are called.
Uh-huh. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world.
Illiterates like us.
To confound the wise.
Yes.
And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
Illiteracy like us to mesmerize you literate ones.
And base things of the world and things which are despised are God chosen.
Yes.
Yea, and things which are not to bring to... And since which are not to bring to naught things that are.
What is the reason?
That no flesh should glory in his presence.
That nothing more. So that you won't say, you won't boast, say you are literate.
Mm. Wow.
You see, you have to catch that.
Mm.
Now, he has this script for his own pleasure.
Mm.
And you need to catch this revelation to appreciate God when you see yourself on the positive side. What he is doing, you will then understand from the beginning. In the beginning was the one. Which beginning? The beginning of the script that produced Adam.
Okay.
That produced Christ.
Mm.
That produced me.
Mm.
That will end up in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read it.
Yes, sir.
From verse 25 to 28.
For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet.
Uh-huh.
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Yes.
For he hath put all things under his feet.
He put part of the script. He put all things under the feet of Jesus.
But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted.
But God himself is not among the things which are put under him.
Which did put all things under him.
Yes.
And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then...
This is the rounding up. The rounding up of this agenda. What will happen?
Then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all.
And the program is finally over.
Hallelujah.
So now, when we talk of the beginning, now, if we say the beginning, it says, in the beginning was a thought. And the thought was with God. Which thought? The thought that God, oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The thought that he is going to create man.
Mm.
He is going to create serpent. Satan, through serpent, will make man fall. Mm. And they will be lost.
Mm.
Billions of the children of Adam will be lost.
Lost.
In the beginning was the word, the thought, the logos. Which thought? They thought. Because he saw that man fell. Man was heading to hell. For the law stands, the soul that sinner shall die. But he saw two groups of people going to hell. One group, like Cain, no matter how you reveal mercy, salvation, tell them, do this so that you will not go to hell. They will never believe. They refuse. The second group, in that multitude that was going to hell, are the ones that the day he revealed the process of redeeming them, they will believe. He is not the one making that group to reject. He is not the one making this other group to accept. He made you and gave you your free will. You have to choose where you want to go. But he saw in his foreknowledge that if he revealed this, a way out from going to hell, to certain people, they will believe. Therefore, he made provision for their redemption.
Hallelujah.
To purchase them back from the enemy.
Mm.
How did he do it? It is that word. In the beginning was with the word. The word was with God. In the beginning, then you will now understand. When was Christ? He now saw. The only way, of course, there is a law of redemption. It will be blood for blood. Life for life. There has to be a process where a sinless man, free according to the law of redemption, will have to come and then pay the price and then buy back his children back to him, which is the process of redemption. And in the script, therefore, he wrote the script down. It has to come through the cross so that you'll understand this language in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8.
Revelation 13, 8. It says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Please read it again, that scripture again.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him.
All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him.
Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of
the world. When was the Lamb slain?
From the foundation of the world.
When was the Lamb slain?
From the foundation of the world.
Not AD 33.
In the mind of God.
In the mind of God, that is
the word. Amen.
And that thought, therefore, for it to be fulfilled, became flesh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
If you need to catch this. So that now you see that from the beginning, therefore, he knew those who would believe. And he chose us. He decided that is the election process. Chose us by that foreknowledge so that you understand. Now let's get some meaning of some scriptures now. Ephesians chapter 1.
Ephesians 1.
You are going to read scriptures soon.
No problem, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Verse 3 and verse 4. Listen to the language there of Revelation.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
He chose us in Christ.
According as he has chosen us in him.
In him, that in Christ.
Before the foundation of the
when
world.
When did he choose us?
Before the foundation of the world.
Okay.
That we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Can you see where our destiny is going?
Mm.
But the emphasis is this. It is not by accident.
He didn't choose us now.
He didn't choose you the day you gave your life to Christ.
Hey, this must be emphasized.
This is where the eternal security is rooted.
Okay.
From when? When did he choose us?
From before the foundation of the world.
Eh?
Chosen us in him before the foundation
of
the world.
So can you see that in the beginning? Can you see where we're going now? Now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, see the language that is used there also.
Yes, sir. Verse what, sir?
Verse 13.
2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation.
See the destiny.
Through sanctification of the Spirit
and what?
And belief of the truth.
That is it. It's clear.
Very clear.
It's very, very clear.
He chose us in him before the foundation
of the world. Before the foundation of the world.
It's not the day we give our lives to Christ.
No. So that you'll understand now, 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 2.
1 Peter 1, 2.
Yes.
It says, elects.
See the greeting.
According to the foreknowledge.
When are we choosing?
Elect according to the foreknowledge.
Now, to achieve something, go on.
Of God the Father.
Through
sanctification of the
Spirit. We are choosing through sanctification of the Spirit.
Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Can you see? This is what we are choosing to achieve. It's not by accident.
This is a deep revelation, sir.
And it's through what?
True
foreknowledge. Now Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. That is a call. But see, Apostle Paul lined it up in Romans chapter 8. He was explaining something, but we catch this principle here quickly.
Yes, sir.
From verse 28.
Romans 8 from verse 28.
Yes.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Now, he called us according to his purpose. That is, according to the script he has written.
Hallelujah.
It's to fulfill his purpose. You know, every day, including this morning, I pray, Lord, fulfill your purpose for my call.
Amen.
Fulfill your purpose for bringing me to earth.
Amen.
Fulfill my purpose for bringing me to Christ.
Amen.
Fulfill my purpose for making me to be alive now. Because I'm alive. The day the purpose is achieved, anything can happen to me and I'm no more. The purpose is fulfilled. For I am out of the script. Right now, I am in that script. You are in that script.
Amen.
Okay? So whatever you are doing, you're only playing that. That is why when God calls you, anoints you for the thing he has called you to do.
Hallelujah.
If you don't see this, you will not appreciate salvation.
Amen.
Now, read on. Verse 29 now. Who for are those
whom he did
that
foreknow?
He's explaining it now.
He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image
now,
of
Now, see it there. Foreknowledge there. For whom
he did foreknow.
Please, when you are reading these things, don't read it as if you are reading your wife's letter.
Okay, sir.
Because people read this and they gloss over it.
That's
they
true.
Don't know the impact. That's why I'm emphasizing it.
For whom he did foreknow.
That is foreknowledge. He knew you in advance. When did he know you?
From the foundation
of the world. He knew you.
He also did predestinate.
Therefore, because he has foreknown you, your destiny, according to who he knows you to be.
Hallelujah.
Was determined before you were even formed in your mother's womb.
He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among
many brethren. Because the new creation is going to come through Christ.
Hallelujah.
You see?
Moreover.
Now, go on.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate.
If you have predestinated you, he has predestinated through his foreknowledge to be conformed to the image of Christ. You see? And Christ, the image of God, to fulfill, God created man in his own image.
Hallelujah.
The first Adam lost it. This last Adam cannot lose it.
Hallelujah.
Now, if he through foreknowledge, he has predestinated you.
Then he also
you
called.
Are the ones he called because your names are already written somewhere.
And whom he called, them he also justified.
He is the one that justifies.
And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
And what is the glorification? It's by the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
It is entirely his process. So that you will understand foreknowledge further. In Romans chapter 9, reading from verse 10 to verse 14.
And not only this, but when Rebecca also had conceived by one.
Two children in the womb of Rebecca.
Even by her father Isaac.
Yes.
For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil.
Yes.
That the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then?
What shall we say then?
Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid.
It's not righteousness, it's foreknowledge.
Yeah.
While they were in the womb, their God knew that this first one, Esau, will be profane person.
Mm.
And that just because of food you will eat, you will have no respect for birthright.
Mm.
So, and because of it, he loved Jacob, who will do everything to get the birthright.
Hallelujah.
Now, he's not the one that made Esau to be
profane.
A profane person. And it's not because he hated Esau, that's why he became a profane person. And it's not the one that made Jacob to start going after the birthright by all means. And it's not because he loved Jacob, that's why Jacob went to get it. It's something he knew.
Mm.
We all have our free will and God is watching us.
Mm. Wow.
You see, you have to understand that. So we have our names written in the book of life through foreknowledge. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8.
Revelation 17 and verse
8.
Yes. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world.
There is a book of life. This life here is a book for eternal life.
Amen.
And that eternal life is in his soul.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory be to God.
Amen.
Mm. So there is a book.
Mm.
And it is through foreknowledge.
Amen.
So let's understand some scriptures now.
Mm.
So that you understand. Maybe this will clear up. That apostle has 80 scriptures. I don't have 80. Even the matter of 2 or 3, the Bible says matter is established. But let's just consider Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11.
11.
Now let's study the language. It's the language that I want to explain.
Ephesians 1, 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of
him. Can you hear now? According to what?
The purpose of
him. According to the script that he has written, we have been predestinated according to that purpose of him.
Who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
It's the counsel of his own will.
Mm.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Because he's the one that is the director of this script of redemption.
Mm.
The same thing also in Acts chapter 4.
Acts 4.
See the language there. Verse 27 and 28.
For of a truth, against thy only child Jesus, whom thou was anointed.
Because they were threatening them. They were threatening the apostles. They were beating them up and down. They came together to pray.
Both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together.
Now note verse 28.
For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done.
What was it that he determined to be done? Their persecution.
Hey.
What they are doing is they are persecuting them. But you are the one that ordained it that way. You see people with revelation. When did he determine it? From the foundation of according to the script that he has written. In Acts 2, verse 23.
Acts 2, 23.
I told you we read some scriptures.
Him being delivered by the determinate.
Who is that him?
The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus.
What did he say?
Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God.
Again, by what?
The determinate
counsel. We are reading Acts chapter 2, verse 23.
Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God.
He has determined it. He has already determined it. Counsel. He counseled with himself.
And
foreknowledge of God,
ye have taken, and by wicked hands.
So his crucifixion was determined by him himself. He arranged that. What the people are doing, you are only fulfilling what he has arranged in the script.
They are acting out.
They're only acting out a script.
The movie of redemption.
So 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Hallelujah.
Verse 7.
1 Corinthians 2, 7. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery.
We read this earlier,
Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
He has ordained this mystery for our redemption before the world even began. So you can see it. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, allow me to read 3 or 4 more scriptures.
Okay. 2 Timothy 1, 9.
Yes.
Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace.
God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Our calling is unto holiness. Not according to our works. We have no part to play in it, but what?
According to his own purpose and grace.
According to his own script that he has written.
Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
In the beginning was the word.
Hallelujah, was the script.
In the beginning, it has settled it long time ago. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11.
Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
When was he talking about the suffering? In the Psalms. The prophets prophesied. It's not by accident. It has been prophesied that it will happen. Take note of that. And Titus chapter 1 verse 2. Titus chapter 1 verse 2.
Titus 1 2.
Yes.
It says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began.
Before when?
The world began.
I know you are just seeing this scripture. That's why you are laughing. I know you are just seeing this scripture. You know. And then when you go to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34.
Matthew 25, 34.
Yes, I want you to note something.
Then shall the king say unto them on
that
the right hand.
That is why you'll be separating the wheat,
the sheep from the goats.
What will he say?
Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you.
From when?
From the foundation of the world.
When was the kingdom? The kingdom prepared.
From the foundation of the world.
In the beginning. From the foundation of the world. And see what he was saying here, John chapter 17 and verse 24.
Amen. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world.
When did he love him? Before the foundation of the world. And I read earlier, John 6:37, where he said, all that the Father giveth me. When did he give them?
Before the foundation of the world.
And they are the only ones that will come to him. They are the only ones we hear, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden.
And I'll give you rest.
Yes. Wow. Now, I know you are going to ask me, but the scripture, there are some scriptures that say, your name can be blotted out from the book of life.
Yes, I have about three scriptures.
You can ask whatever you want. You want to ask.
Which the opponents of eternal security
hold on to.
Let's but we'll take them. That after this short break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Amen.